are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
It's behind him. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
What's up? What's up? It looks a little different today. This was something I'd kind of been working on behind the scenes, a little Arkansas Insiders action. But I am joined by Kevin Bohannon. He is the baseball analyst for Arkansas Rivals Network, hogbeat.com. Shout out Mason Choate. That's HAWG.com. What's up, Kevo?
What's up, Matty? Glad to be here, man. It's we've known each other for a long time, and baseball brings a lot of people together. It's funny because I really got back into this kind of when I started, went back into teaching, which was 2011. And baseball had always been a background thing for me and came up playing it and everything. So it's good to see, you know, a lot of people that I've had, you know, had come in contact with before coming together over such a great game.
Yeah, and what better game than one that our team, home team, plays? Number one, Arkansas Razorbacks. Do you feel like there is a unnecessary target on our backs being number one, or do you think it's just it's baseball, it's going to change throughout the season, so can't put a whole lot of stock into it?
That's one thing that, you know, the NCBWA poll was the last poll to really come around to ranking the Razorbacks number one. They had Oregon State up there prior to them losing a series or losing a game or whatever prior to conference play opening. So Dave Van Horn, and I talked to Phil Elson about it, and he's like, yeah, they're nice, but they don't mean anything. And Coach Van Horn made a point at the Swatters Club last week or 2 weeks ago to let his players know that, yeah, it doesn't mean anything. And you talk about Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, and you hear about the culture and process and all that stuff all the time. But it really is. So they're taking care of their business one day at a time. If they do their job, all the stuff in the end is going to work itself out. Why? It gives us stuff to talk about, and that's good because, you know, media has to have something to talk about during the season in terms of, you know, how they're going to keep their momentum going, how, you know, how the game shakes out. Is it like you just mentioned, is there a target? Yes, there's a target. There's always going to be a target as long as Dave Van Horn's there, especially at Ballmarker Stadium. This is big for LSU. You and I talked, you know, off the air how it makes me a little nervous because this is a 2-4 team. While I don't think they're as good as they were last year, they don't have Dylan Cruz, they don't have Trey Morgan, it's still a dangerous team that a lot of people pick to repeat as national champions.
Yeah, and I'm not crazy about the – like, all of the SEC is tough. So, like, right. The individual series, I'm not going to get, like, super worried if we drop an SEC series. I mean, we look back at the NC State Super Regional where I don't think we dropped a single series that year, and you see how it ended. Like, baseball is going to result in losses. And I want to transition into that with how big of a deal do you think it was losing game three to Auburn the way we did?
I don't think it's as big because that series could have gone way bad for Arkansas. So at that point, look, they got Fisher in there. They worked through a few things, and that's going to be big for them later on in the year. These freshman pitchers are being relied upon quite a good amount right now. So we've seen the last 3 years with Brady Tigert, Hagan Smith, Gage Wood, Jackson Wiggins going back that freshmen do hit a wall at some point. All right. Where that's at, that really kind of determines how your pitching staff bounces back. So getting them in some situations early like that is good. Auburn is a good team. That's one of the best outfields you're going to see all year long. Bobby Pierce, those guys can play ball. Auburn is a good team. They're going to win a lot of SEC games. This is a team that, you know, yeah, they lost a few. And then 2 years ago, they had Sonny D, and how they were going to bounce back from that. Ike Irish is a good behind the plate. Their pitching staff is getting better, as we saw last weekend. They got good stuff. Will Cannon, the closer, he's 95-98 with a power slider. he carved us up that last day. So it's not a really big deal. The 2000 team didn't win a single road series. We were fine. Thanks, Jesse. Yeah, that's one of the things that somebody brought up the other day. They're like, yeah, we made the College World Series final and didn't win a single road series. So I think they're fine moving forward. That was one of those things. It was a crazy weekend, the first Thursday through Saturday. The first day Van Horn wasn't there for a game. So there was a little, I wouldn't say turmoil, but it was just a little different feeling, and it was on the road. So I don't think it's a really big deal. They bounced back pretty good against the Trojans yesterday.
I think the biggest announcement thus far was the switch, making the switch from Mason Molina being your game three starter to now game two. Tiger slotted for that game three slate. We've got beautiful weather in Fayetteville this weekend, by the way. Thursday is going to be a high 63, Friday 71, Saturday 74. Sunny, knock on wood. There's no rain delays or anything, and everybody keeps their same rotation. But what do you make of this switch? Do you think it's just to give Tiger an extra day to kind of collect himself, or do you see it as just awarding Mason the Saturday or Friday start in this case because of how good he's performed?
I think it's a combination of both, and you could kind of see it going back a couple of weeks with Tiger. The command just wasn't there. I mean, he's leading the team in walks right now. I think he's got 16, 39 strikeouts, so it's about a little over two to one strikeout to walk ratio. You can't have that. He's worked out of jams. The Missouri series when he threw on that weekend, bases loaded, had to work out of it just by walking a couple and hitting batters. So Molina has performed admirably. I mean, he's performed like a Friday night guy. Everybody has said, look, the Razorbacks have three Friday night guys. They do. They've got one that is on a historic pace right now. He's on that Kevin Copps level, that Paul Skeens level. So if he can keep it up, Hagen Smith going on Thursday, that gives them a chance with Molina going lefty-lefty. I like it with Coach Van Horn and Coach Hobbs, what they decided to do. Give Brady a time to just sit back and watch the lineup. I think that's the biggest reason. If you're struggling a little bit, get out there, see two professionals that have been starting their whole career. Hagen Smith, with the exception of last year a little bit, and Mason Molina have been starters in the SEC and the Big 12. Let them see how they attack this lineup. That gives Brady Tiger a little extra day to game plan and look at how they attack this potent Tigers lineup.
Once again, we're joined by Kevin Bohannon, a baseball analyst for Arkansas Rivals Network, hogbeat.com. Sorry, that was my wife calling. So I'm big into the advanced analytics part of it. And one of the things that stick out to me is the Sierra for skill interactive ERA. So a little under the hood look of a pitcher's ERA. And while Tigert's 1.59 ERA looks good, he does have a 2.95 Sierra, which is the worst of the three starters. Hagen at 0.2, which is just a freak.
Yeah.
And then Mason Molina at 1.87. So on the flip side of that, you've got the batting statistic of weighted runs created plus. And this has kind of been a talking point, I think, for Arkansas baseball media of the lack of firepower from our offense. We're sitting at 110 right now, which is it's 10% above average. That's the easiest way to quantify it. LSU sitting at 121, so not just incredibly better. Neck and neck, pretty much at batting average, and 38 home runs to Arkansas's 33. So how much stock do you put into the slow start from the offense? And do you think that the pitching staff is good enough that if the offense continues to be in this lull that they're in, do you think they can keep games competitive enough to where it's not that big of a deal? Like, we don't need to sound the alarm on, oh, this team can't hit.
Yeah. So if I look at it, I'm an analytics guy. Moneyball is one of my favorite. It's a top three movie of mine all the time. The book's great. If you want to really dive into it, read the book. I promise you the movie leaves out a lot of stuff, and it really kind of gives you a backstory into the thought process and how they really analyze and break down. So LSU has three more games. So they have a few more, 38 home runs in 26 games versus 34 home runs in 23 games. We know Arkansas hit four of those on Tuesday. They hit three in one inning. So my deal has always been, if you get on base, they got to get knocked in. I don't care how they get on base. So Arkansas took advantage of 8 Little Rock Trojan walks the other day. Jacob Weatherly from Jonesboro from Little Rock had the worst inning he's probably ever had as a collegiate pitcher. Gave up 3 bombs, including a grand slam. So they're getting on base. You have to get in. The thing that we talked about early in the year was, okay, if they get the second and third with less than one out, they got to be moved over. Arkansas wasn't doing that. Then you started seeing them pick it up a little bit with the McNeese State Series, and they would show glimpses of it at time. If this team can score 5 to 7 runs, I think they're going to be okay. And you kind of really saw that last weekend in Auburn. Yeah, 1-0 is an aberration, but that's a Friday night game in the SEC. I know it was on Thursday. It'll be on Thursday this week, but follow along, fans. That's the first game of the series. That's the way it's always been in the SEC. If you can get to Sunday and your bullpen is not deleted and you can win 15-12, so be it. That's not the case anymore because Arkansas has such a deep pitching staff. And it's going to be even deeper now that you got a Ben Bibee who came out and absolutely carved on Tuesday. Looked good. Dylan Carter's getting worked back into shape. So those guys, add Cooper Dossett into there. You have a depth that really capitalizes on what you're lacking offensively at times. Now, I still think Dave Van Horn is playing the matchups game offensively. He's going to be like, okay, we have our 3 or 4 now. Guys that are going to be in the lineup every day, Stovall, Diggs, McLaughlin, Aloy. Everywhere else can kind of interchange. Hudson White's going to be there every day, whether it be as a DH or as a catcher. Then you start really kind of plugging the pieces. Okay, is it going to be really advantageous for us to match up with a left-handed bat in Lovich? Can we sacrifice a little bit in center field and put him out there? Will Edmondson swing in a hot bat? So he's kind of really, you know, is he shaking the magic 8-ball every time and looking at it and saying, okay, this gives us the best chance today? Sometimes, maybe, I don't know, but they have the luxury of being able to do that. Peyton Holt's hitting 327, Sprague Lott hitting 323. Those guys can't really be on the field at the same time since Peyton Stovall came back. You got a little bit more firepower with Sprague Lott, but you have a motor, an energy guy in Peyton Holt that they love to have on the field. The odd man left out right now is really kind of Jason Jones. Is Ryder Helfrich going to be able to add a little bit more pop in the lineup now that he's kind of figured it way back? The key is these guys are going to be asked to do stuff at certain times, like Ryder Helfrich was last Friday in that game in the top of the 90s.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Huge spot for
a freshman that hasn't played really in 2 weeks to be like, okay, Parker Rowland's having his worst game as a Razorback. We need you to go in there. And he hits a bomb. Jack Wagner on Tuesday hits a home run, played well. Those guys have to be ready for those moments when they come along. They can't be, you know, in their sorrows, in their feelings and say, oh, okay. Same thing with the pitching staff, Matt. So as you get guys that are coming back, like a Hunter D to Ben Bibee, and you're not getting as many innings or as many chances, you have to go out there and perform when your number's called. I don't care when it is. If you're down 9-2, whatever, go out there and perform like you have. So you have 5 guys on the roster right now that would qualify for an ERA title. That's how much they've thrown. You've got 8. You got 5 guys that have thrown 18-plus innings, Colin Fisher being the least of those. But Molina, Tiger, McIntyre, and Smith all have 28 innings at least, okay? That just shows the depth right there. I think it's going to be even better for this team. They're a close group. So looking at, you know, some of the things on the surface that we're saying, okay, they're 20-3, they're doing good, they're ranked number 1. Let's really kind of peel the onion back and see where we can find a weakness with this team. Yeah, they don't have the firepower that some of the Arkansas teams have had in the past, but this team gets on base better than some of those teams in the past. It used to be home run or strikeout. Now, okay, well, we can take our walks. When you have 149 strikeouts, 122 walks, that's pretty dang good. So, like I said, no matter how they get on base, if you can get them on base, but they have to be knocked in.
And one guy, I don't remember you calling out was Nolan Souza. He's kind of lost in the fold too. He leads the team in WRC plus at 146.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Like you said, yeah. Peyton Holt, Jared Sprague Lott, those are our two best batting averages on the team. I mean, it sucks, but it's a good thing. You know, like you said, it's situational. And I'm a big proponent in situational hitting. You don't always have to go for the home run. Yeah. And you've got so many guys that can get on base. It's really like chess, trying to figure out who should be up at what time in the matchups defensively. I know we've got, you know, like 17 catchers that are all good in their own right. But, you know, do you go with the freshman in Helfrick that may have the best pop on the bat? Do you go with Hudson White, who's been there forever? You know, you've got Hudson Polk, and I'm forgetting the other one. But
Parker Rowland. So, I think the Hudson Polk experiment, he had a game where he hit a grand slam his first at bat. You know, he's done okay. But I think they've zeroed in okay. The top two defensive guys we have right now are Rowland and then White. Helfrick is going to make his way in there. He got to start in the midweek game, came in as a relief. All right. So when you travel 27 and you start seeing more of these pitchers come back, you can't carry four catchers. You really can't carry three catchers. So they're going to have to keep paring that down a little bit. That's one thing that I talked on Drive Time Sports yesterday about was, okay, now that Coach Van Horn has Stovall back, the lineup seems to be coming together. I said, well, not really, because he's still going situation by situation and really kind of paring it down. So while Souza, being a freshman, is going to have his opportunities, it's going to be in certain situations, because if he's an everyday guy going against SEC pitching, they're going to learn how to pitch him. They're going to learn the scouting report. They're going to know how to get him out. Just like with any freshman, if you look back, Peyton Stovall, Caden Wallace, any of those big freshmen that have come in and played their first year as an everyday starter. So, it's a great problem to have. I think it's going to be Dave Van Horn pulling the strings and showing how much experience he does have in these situations.
How much stock do you put into the big win over UALR? Because they've kind of had our number. I feel like they always play us tight. I believe we've lost to them in the last couple of years of playing. Yeah. I mean, do you think UALR is going to be good for the OVC?
I do. Coach Curry returned his most experienced team ever. I think they had 98% of their offense and 89% of their innings pitched from last season. I've covered them a little bit more in depth this year, which I'm very thankful to Coach Curry and his staff for allowing me a little bit more access. So they shut down a really good lineup. Okay. Their pitching staff, they've had two OVC pitchers of the week in Kirkendall and Hoss Brewer. They shut down a Morehead State team that was hitting 335 coming into conference play last week, and they got no hit for five innings and shut out for the entire game. So UALR has a chance to win their conference, and they should be there. They were there till the end of the season. Preston Davis got hurt. Jackson Wells, who led the nation in ERA last year, isn't having that same type of year, but he's got more help behind him this time. So UALR has a chance to win the OVC and get a NCAA berth. Now, they beat Arkansas 11-4 last year and 17-7 in 2019 when all this started. That's big for Arkansas. Yeah, it shortened game. You had six hits, but four of them were home runs. It's like I said, who cares? You get on, you get in. And they're going to – I think if they can carry that momentum offensively, it's going to be really helpful for them. They've had 14 different guys hit home runs now. That number is kind of scary to me, because – Wagner and Edmondson each hit a home run yesterday. You got 14 guys that have gone deep for you this year. That just shows you what you can put on the field at any given time.
One of the things that you do, and if you're not following him already, Cabo Baseball Guru on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, you like dissect the starting lineup every single time it's tweeted out. I love it. You keep track, I feel like, of every starting lineup to know, like, oh, this is only the fourth time Dave Van Horn's gone with this lineup, or this is the 13th change of lineup for Dave Van Horn. But y'all go follow him. I really appreciate you coming on. I'll close it out with this. Give me your series prediction on how this one goes.
Yeah, it's going to be a tight series. When you have an experienced pitcher like Luke Holman that's having just as good of a year as Hagen Smith, That's going to be tough to go against. So, you know, on Thursday, I think you see a real low scoring game. If it is Smith and Holman, which we do expect it to be, LSU may change their rotation up. They may, Jay Johnson may say, okay, this gives us our best chance to get 2 out of 3 against the number one team in the nation on the road and change it up a little bit. They may concede the Hagan Smith game. And if they steal it, they're in great they're in a great spot, a great situation to win too. Arkansas, I think, is playing for a little bit of pride here because they feel knocking off the defending national champion means a lot to these guys right now because they were front row seats for what happened last year. They felt going into the NCAA playoffs that, look, while we do have some deficiencies, we went toe-to-toe with LSU. We beat Paul Skeens twice. They know that they can be that team. And no matter how much talk has been put around these guys for the last 6-7 months, they know and they believe that this is Dave Van Horn's best shot to win a national championship. And they get
man, this weekend. I want it. Not just as a Razorback fan, but just like Dave Van Horn, college baseball. I feel like you look at the list of all of the best coaches in college baseball, he seems to be the only one that doesn't have that national championship, and yeah. I want it for him more than anything.
Yeah, so I think Arkansas takes 2 out of 3 on the weekend.
You talked about potentially switching up the lineup for LSU if Jay Johnson decides to do that. So, do you think you throw Thatcher Hurd off short rest, or do you put Gage Jump in the transfer from UCLA?
I think if they were going to do that, they throw Jump on Thursday. Go home on Saturday and Hurd on Saturday, or Holman then Hurd, and go like that. That gives them a good shot.
Yeah, it's confusing. I hate when they move these Thursday games, which I get this week for Easter Sunday. Nobody wants to be trapped at home. But
that's right.
All right. Well, thank you very much again, Kevin Bohannon, Arkansas Rivals Network, hogbeat.com. Go follow him along at KBO Baseball Guru, and we will be back either later this evening or tomorrow for our show where we'll break down all 9 previews of the lineup. Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you later.